You are the God of armies. You are the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the maker of heaven and earth and everything in them. You have no beginning and no end. You are the first and the last. There are creatures whose created glory would terrify us and silence us and put us on the ground, whose entire function is to cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And we join their chorus, "Now God, you are holy, great, and greatly to be praised. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Take a little time to ask this God who we know to rule and reign on earth the way that he does in heaven. As COVID rages and the Taliban overruns Afghanistan, and as our neighbors continue to chase after their idols and reject the living God, pray that he would step in and overcome all of this by his rule and reign. Lord, this world is in outright rebellion against you. From the Taliban, who seek to militarily establish an oppressive, evil reign in Afghanistan, to our neighbors and ourselves at times, preferring the comfort and pleasure of this world to the truth and the goodness of your glory. We know, Jesus, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you, and that's why you sent us out to proclaim your kingdom. And we know, because you promised, that you are with us to the end of the age and that you will return to rule and reign, as we're asking you to do now. But your kingdom is already established and it's already advancing. Your spirit is already at work in this age to penetrate the darkness with your light. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. May your people, motivated by your spirit, live according to this reality that you are King. Help us obey. Help us advance. Give us today our daily bread. Ask God to meet our true needs and cast out our anxious fears. God, you know we are needy creatures. You made us this way. It's good for us to depend on you. Eternal life never belonged to us in ourselves, and it never will, but it's a gift which you sustain. But we fall so readily into fear when we look to other gods to meet these natural needs: food, shelter, community, sleep. Lord, turn our hearts to you so that in sickness and in health, in riches, in poverty, in hunger, in plenty, we are satisfied by you. And pour out your blessings on your people, God. Give us a heart that is grateful, so that as you shower us with blessings, we turn around and bless those around us, not hoarding to ourselves because we're afraid of the future, but we know you and trust you. And so whatever you lavish on us, we would gladly lavish on others. Meet our true needs, God. Drive out our anxious fears. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Spend some time asking God to forgive us as a people. We began by asking for forgiveness for ourselves individually. Ask for forgiveness for us as a people, for the ways that we have disobeyed God's commands, failing to do what he told us to do and doing what he forbade. And don't ignore the warning here against unforgiveness in our hearts. Forgive us for falling short of loving one another as you loved us. That was your commandment to your apostles and to us down through the ages. Forgive us. Cover us. Forgive us for making secondary things primary and letting crucial things fall by the wayside. Forgive us for being quick to speak, slow to listen, slow to forgive, impatient with each other, impatient with the world around us. Forgive us for being concerned with many things when one thing is necessary. God, don't let any unforgiveness, any bitterness fester in our hearts together as a people. Do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Finally, let's spend a couple minutes asking God to rescue us from sin going forward, and make us like Jesus. Lord, we cling to your promises that the poor in spirit, those who feel their empty-handedness before you, are blessed because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. That those who mourn their brokenness and the brokenness around them in the world will be comforted. That those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. That you are with us. Never will you forsake us, even to the end of the age. And you have sent your Spirit to fill us and help us. And as the apostles fervently hoped, we fervently hope that you, who began this good work in us, will be faithful to bring it to completion. Do so quickly, Lord. Deliver us. We don't want to mess around with this anymore. One step forward, half a step back. We long for the strength of maturity to run hard after you, leaving far behind all the ways of this world that so easily entangle us. God, deliver us as a people. Fill us with your Spirit. Transform our hearts so that what overflows from us is like you. We ask in your powerful name, King Jesus. Amen.
We're going to sing a couple more. Both of which are about God's immense and immeasurable love for us. And I think, as I was just looking at y'all and praying with you, I see that we love him. And I hope that y'all can see that. Sometimes I think we need to see that he loves us a lot more. So David, I'm going to throw you a curveball, but we're going to sing the next one, then we're going to sing How He Loves.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all men. Should give his only son.
His wounds have paid my ransom. In his jealous grace.
take a seat.
It's on. Pastor David is not here. He's not preaching right now because I'm not him. He's in quarantine, so we can be praying for him and his family. Probably the second chapter or second paragraph of Philippians, but we're not going to be there today. Instead, the Lord has given me a word for our congregation. So let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, feed us. Give us what we need. Heal us. Instruct us. Do surgery here, Lord. If there be things within our lives that need to be eradicated, use this moment, use this word, your word, to bring about transformation in the lives, hearts of your people. God, we give this time to you, your word. Do with it what only you can. In Christ's name, amen. We all naturally, this is what we do. We live life according to the goals and the visions that we have for our future. All right, this is a natural action of our lives. We all work with visions. Even when we don't have a vision, that is the vision for our life. Okay, so we do what we think is necessary to achieve the goals that we have. An example is baseball players go to spring training. So no matter how bad your team is, spring training, everyone still thinks that they could win the World Series. Most people do. All right, but they go to spring training to try to desperately achieve the goal. I want to go to Carowinds today. All right, so I have to go get gas. I have a goal to go to Carowinds, but I have to go get gas in order to get to Carowinds today. There's things that we have to do in order to reach the goals that we have. We all have goals for our lives, and we fill up our lives going after what we want desperately. You are here today, right now, because you believe that this is going to help you become the person that you want to become. You know, this is, you woke up, you brushed your teeth, hopefully, and you put on your clothes and you came because this is important. You're saying, this is important. I need something, and it's going to help me get to where I want to get to. So we all do this all the time. We have days in mind, days, whether it's tomorrow, week later, month later, years later, we all have days and goals down in our future that we have in mind, and we are working toward those days. Here are some of those days, some of those days that may or may not have already come for you or are coming for you. Your kid's first day of school, your kid's last day of school. The first day of high school, your graduation day. We have birthdays coming up. We have holidays that we're getting. If you don't know this, we're not too far from Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. You know, like we anticipate that. So now, what my wife does is she goes to Hobby Lobby now, in preparation for those days. That day's coming. Christmas is coming, and even as we reverse engineer this. Some of you guys with children, you know, like, I only get so many more Christmases with my family all together at home. Okay, so we're reverse engineering this. We're counting down. This is important. That day's coming. So I wanna track back here. For some of us, the day's coming where we will hand over our kids to another person, we will send them on their way. So we work hard now in preparation daily for that day. It's a day that's probably going to happen. I will soon, in a few years, send kids to college. I'm working to that day. It's going to be a day. I see on Facebook, some people had that day this past week. The day's coming. Starting a new career. Changing careers. Retirement. The day is coming. And it's also sad to think, but it's true, we all have a lot of funerals that we will be attending for the rest of our lives. The day is coming for most of us, if it hasn't already come, we will get a call about our grandparents. We will get a call about our parents. That day is coming. The day is coming, as bad as I hate it, but the day is coming where either Brooke, my wife, or I will be beside each other and one of us will pass. That day is coming. And so we live now in light of those days in mind. Our days, the scripture calls, our days are numbered. We can't be wasting our days. We need to live now with the end in mind. So Paul, in this letter to this church, he has another day in mind. And this day is far more important than any birthday. It's far more important than any send your kid to college day. This day should be the vision for us to live our lives now. So Paul says there's a day coming. He says it three times in this small letter. I'm going to read them real quick, and then we're going to look at some of them, okay? So Philippians chapter 1, he says in verse 6, and it's on the screen also if you do not have a copy of God's Word. It says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This is his first hint that he's writing that there's a day coming. He mentions it again, verse 9 through 11. He says this, it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And he says it again, chapter 2, verse 16. Hold fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Paul is saying, I'm writing you this letter. There's a lot of things he's accomplishing in this letter. But one thing that is his focus is to say, church, the day's coming. It's coming for you. And I want to do everything in my power to help you until that day and to help you realize that day. The day is coming. Let's look at verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. I'll read it again. It's my prayer. Paul says, this is my prayer, that love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So he's, you know, the way he structures the sentence, he says, the day of Christ is coming, so I want this for you. So all of us, everyone here, the day of Christ is coming for us. What is the day of Christ? The day of Christ is Jesus getting the approval from the Father to come and make all things right, to come and reconcile the world, to come and receive his family to himself, to come and throw the evil and wicked into the lake of fire. The day of Christ is Christ coming back finishing, completing all the work that he started, setting up eternity. This is the day of Christ. I'll read to you what 1 Thessalonians says about the day of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 says this: "For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, 'There's peace and security,' then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, Christian, are not in darkness. Brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake, be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, for the helmet of hope and salvation. For God, Christian, for God has not destined us to wrath on that day, but to obtain salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." He paints this picture, Paul. The day of the Lord is coming, and you don't know when it's going to happen. It could happen in a moment. And Paul is pressing in his letters, saying, "I want to help you get ready for that day." Other days don't matter to Paul. This day matters. This is something, the day of the Lord, the day of Christ Jesus, is something you should either, as a Christian, be completely hopeful and excited about that day that's coming, or if you are apart from Christ, it is the most terrifying day. We're in a battle. In church, we don't want the captain to show up when we're slacking off. We want to be working, fighting as we look for him to come rescue. So he says in verse 9, very quickly, he wants our love to abound more and more now. He wants the love of Christ to be on display through the way, through what we know and how we discern, so that we can actually live the way that God intends for us to live. We can agree with the Lord what is right and what is wrong. And we can approve, move into, act on what is excellent. And his prayer for us, that when we stand before the Lord, that we stand there pure and blameless. We're not bringing guilt and shame to that day. But as sons and daughters of the Lord, we are pure. So Paul's saying here, church, to prepare for that day, don't play with sin. Don't play with sin. Don't entangle yourself up with things that would lead you to believe of your impurity. Receive the pureness of Christ, the blamelessness of Christ. He says in verse 11, he wants us to be... Jesus comes and he catches us. When he catches us, this is his prayer, that you are filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of our God. He wants us to get caught in righteousness. He wants us to get caught full of good fruit, that when the captain comes, he wants to see us at our best, giving our lives, serving, loving, living in ways approved of what is excellent. So he says, this is where we need to be focused. We do not need to be in sin when that day comes. We need to be blameless. Paul also says it another way in chapter 2, verse 16. This is wonderful. I love the way Paul puts this. This is discipleship 101. So if none of us know how to make disciples, this is a great example of how to make disciples. He says that he's given them some instruction starting in verse 14. And he says, do all these things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent. I want this for you. Act like a child of God. You're children of God. Act like it without blemish. Even in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, hold fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. So Paul is tying his relationship with this church. He says, I've worked my life for that day for you. I've poured myself out for that day for you. I want this for you. I have given everything for that day. I did my part. And Paul's saying, it's almost like he's going to be watching. He's doing all this work because he's going to be watching on that day as all of the Christians in Philippi step up to the plate. All of them stand before the Lord. And that on that day, Paul will be able to look and say, because of their standing and their righteousness in Christ, standing approved before the Son of God, that Paul will be able to look and say, I didn't waste my life with these jokers. I gave it all I had. And he's saying, I want this. This is why we should quit grumbling. Paul says, here's why I want you to quit grumbling and complaining. Here's why I want you to shine bright in a dark world. Because one day, I'm going to sit there and watch you stand before the Lord. And on that day, I want to know that I did what I was supposed to do. Okay, so he's giving his life. He's giving his life for that day for these people. He did not waste his time. He did not waste his letter. He did not waste his words on things that did not pertain to that day. The Apostle Paul shows us he did not waste time on talking about things that are not primarily important. Paul did not primarily talk about sports with the Philippians. He did not primarily talk about food. He did not primarily talk about making money or decorations or animals or getting into college or moving up in your career. He knew one day Jesus is coming. And he wanted them ready. So Paul had a goal for his relationship with these people, and it was this: get them to Jesus. Get them to Jesus. That's it. Keep them in front of him. Get them ready for him. And so I must pause here for us as a church and ask, who are our people? Who do we love? Who has God called us to? To where, when asked the question, why are you in relationship with this person? The answer would be, I want to help them get ready for that day. I want to pour my life out so I can sit on the side and say, hey, I didn't run in vain here. I didn't waste my time. I didn't waste my energy. We get them to Jesus. Yes, I'm not belittling those. It's good and fun to talk about sports and food and money and all those things. But we can gain the whole world and lose souls We can help our children get into the best colleges and also drive them farther away from Christ toward an eternity separate from Him. And we only have a window. We only have a small window. So in chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, Paul gives us some pretty good, clear instructions on how we go about this. He says this, I love the humility, the truth in humility. He says, not that I have already obtained this. I have not arrived here, guys. I haven't achieved the goal. Not that I have already obtained this or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Why? Because Christ Jesus has made me His own. This is a beautiful combination of faith and works. We work because we have faith. Our faith puts us to work. Our faith dictates what is important. Our faith tells us that God is coming. And therefore, we work hard. We are diligent in this. I make it my own. I have not obtained this. I am not perfect, but I press on. I press on. I'm not going to sit on the sidelines. I'm not going to waste my relationships. I'm not going to allow lesser things to become more important. I press on to make it my own. Christ has made me His own. It says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But this one, so I love how Paul does this because he's a preacher. So he says, this one thing I do, and then he lists 27 things. Okay? This one thing I do. Here's what he does. Forgetting what lies behind. Straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I am running hard after this one thing. I've made my life about this one thing. Everything else can fall off. I'm not going to be distracted by what has happened to me in the past. I'm not going to let what has happened to me, what has happened in the past, pull me off of this one thing. I'm going to strain forward toward the day of Christ. I'm going to press on toward the goal. He says, I'm going hard after this. We cannot let our past sins and shame, we cannot let the world distract us. We have to maintain the focus of the goal. God has set the goal for us. We're going to stand before Him. There's a finish line. The race will one day be over. This will happen. There is no avoiding it. It will happen for all of us, and it will happen for everyone that we know. It will be over. The day of the Lord comes. So he says in verse 17, this is what we do. Here's some good advice. Paul says, if you want to run, you want to do this, you're with me. He says, brothers, join in imitating me. Here's what you do. Join me. Join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So Paul is not some lunatic saying, I have it together. He clearly says, I don't have it together, but the race that you need to be running, I'm running it. And I'm running it the best I possibly can. And so he invites, this is the church, this is us. He invites the brothers and sisters and says, come run with me. Come run with me. I'm not going to waste my life. If you don't want to waste your life, come run with me. If you want holiness and righteousness, if you want to help more people stand before the Lord on that day, with fruit of righteousness in Christ Jesus. If you want that, come with me. Join me in this. Find someone running. Church, I would encourage all of us. God has blessed our church. God has blessed our church, and he's blessed our church with other relationships, family members that don't live here, that are godly people, that are running hard after these things. And so if you see someone that has what you want, that has the joy in Christ, that has the passion for the day of the Lord, if you see someone, I told the guys yesterday, I remember for the first time seeing a man love his wife in a way as to present her one day to the Lord. I heard that, but I got to see that. I saw a guy do that. And so I went to him and said, I want to know everything you know. I need help here. I'm not there. I want that. I want to wash my wife in the Word, and so that one day when her and I, we are with Christ, that she is presented because of the work that I've done, that I got to partake in. I want that. So I look and say, I don't have that, but other people actually do. There are people striving and running better than us. So Paul says, find them. Find them. Beg them if you must. And the mature saints among us, I'm sure of it, are willing and ready and invite those relationships and say, join me in imitating me. And here's the danger. Verse 18 is the danger. This is what's natural. Paul says, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame with the mindset of earthly things. Paul saying, this brings me to tears to even mention. What is natural in our world is running away from the Lord and being so distracted with the gods of our bellies and the glory in our name, and we set our minds on earthly things. Church, this is Satan's deliberate, oftentimes successful tactic of pulling us away from the mission that God has put us on. Distract us to death. Let our American consumerism drive our hungers. Fill our lives up with worthlessness. Make us busy. Distract us from the day that could happen at any moment. Fill your stomachs. Go get earthly things. Go do more shopping. Paul says, verse 20, our citizenship, it's in heaven. We are more Christian than we are American. Our citizenship is in heaven. We must act as citizens of heaven now. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. He finally says in verse 1, this is his hope, therefore, my brothers, who I love and long for, my joy and my crown, do this, stand firm thus in the Lord. This is a present tense. Right now, that day's coming. Right now, what's best for you to do is stand firm in the Lord Christ. The Lord, church, wants you now, not just for the day that he's coming. He wants you now. He wants you now so it won't be a shock when you stand before him. That now is the time to become intimately acquainted with his presence and his friendship and his love so that it's not awkward when you stand before him on that day. That you can stand before the Lord with no regrets. He has made you righteous. You've put your faith in him. And you're living life toward helping others know and love him. Verse was already mentioned before, but chapter 1, verse 6 says, he will complete this in us. He's doing the heavy lifting. We work hard. He's doing the heavy lifting. So as a response for us today, I would like to encourage us to do some things. This, for me, every time I'm reminded that Jesus is coming, it helps me get things in order and get some things out of my order. Things that are not important need to go. And so as we put that day in our mind and as we live toward that day, we do not want to spend our lives succeeding at all the wrong things. So I ask you, and I would love for you to allow the Lord to bring to light these things. What do you need to stop doing? What do you need to stop pursuing? What is distracting you from both your preparedness and readiness and excitement to stand before the Lord? And what is keeping you, what is distracting you from helping your neighbors and your children and your nieces and nephews, and your friends, your family, and your coworkers, whatever's keeping you from helping them for that day, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Stop it. Allow the Lord to show you, show us what we need to quit. Maybe they're good things. Maybe they're good things, but the good thing has become a distraction. Anything that's not preparing you for that day, helping you prepare others for that day, YouTube, shopping on Amazon, another ball game, one more quarter of the next game, side hustles to make money. The things we stop are as important as the things we start. And most of us need to stop more than we need to start more. And I don't want you to hear me wrong. Enjoy a game. Enjoy YouTube. Enjoy. But the day's coming. A day's coming. YouTube's probably not going to help you get there. One of my favorite people in the world says this. He wakes up every morning and he says, the Lord's coming back tonight. So he strives to live his life. He wakes up every morning and one of his early things is, the Lord's coming back tonight. And he wants to live in light of that. So church, the way you talk to your spouse, the way you interact with your friends will change dramatically today if you believe the Lord is coming back tonight. So the scripture calls us, do today what needs to be done today. Do not be the sloth. Do not put off to tomorrow. Today is the day. What do you need to stop? What do you need to start? Proverbs, I want to read this to you. Proverbs is a great instruction on most of us Americans who like to delay. And he's just saying, if there's something that needs to be done, this is how we need to treat it. He says, don't even give your eyes sleep. No sleep. Your eyelids, no slumber. Save yourself from the laziness, like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter, like a bird from the hand of a fowler. Look to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, because without having any chief officer or rule her, tell her what she needs to do, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you lie there, O slugger? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little delay, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Church, I would encourage all of us today, stop something. Stop something today. Start something today. As we respond this morning, I would ask that you bow your heads. I'm going to lead us in a time of response. Let the Lord guide you. If there's relationships that need to be adjusted, if your whole framework of life needs to be adjusted, let the Lord do that now. Ask Him. He will complete the work in you. You will, because of Christ, you will stand before Him on that day, hidden in Christ, loved, made righteous. You will stand before Him in His glory. Now we get to join Him in the advancement of His kingdom among the people that He has called us to. And so some of you this morning, maybe what you need to stop and what you need to start, maybe the thing is that what you need to stop is, you need to stop trusting in yourself. Stop trusting in yourself to earn God's love. Stop trying to clean up your own life in order to win His love. Stop trying to pursue all the empty things that won't satisfy. Maybe the thing that you need to start today, you need to start following Jesus. You need to start trusting Jesus. He wants to know you now. He wants to love you now. He wants to develop the friendship and relationship now. He wants to win you over now. Start that today. We're going to take a moment. Those of you who are in Christ, we're going to receive communion together today. We're going to do it all together. So the table, pretend like there's a table here. The table reminds us of the time where Christ predicted His death on the cross. And He wanted His followers to have a tangible, a physical reality that they could remember what He was about to do. So now as we hold, you can go ahead and get the piece of wafer and hold it in your hand. Christ's body had to be broken in order for us to one day stand before Him. His body had to be broken. So church, on that day, He took the bread, He broke it. After giving thanks, He said, "This is my body that will be broken for you. As you taste this, remember His body." And then Christ follower. After he did the bread, he took the cup of wine and he said, "My blood will be poured out for you. My blood will be poured out for you." He blessed it. Drink. This is his blood. And church, we will do that until that day. We will remember Christ accomplished all for us until that day. Stand with me as Pastor Alex comes up to pray a pastoral prayer on that day. This is what Revelation says. "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away. No place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And then the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the end who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." After Pastor Alex prays for us, you can go receive your children, come in, and we will worship this God.
Like before, we're going to take a posture of humility. So if you would, for you, if that's sitting with your hands open, if it's kneeling and using your chair as an altar, if it's standing with your arms raised, we're going to take a moment to pray. Lord, how important it is that we keep our eyes fixed on your day. Lord, how there are so many days our hearts desire between now and then that we get distracted with and we look to, and we can easily get misguided and off course, planning to go this way or that rather than looking straight ahead. Lord, I ask that as we think and consider things to start and things to stop, as we think how to keep ourselves running that race forward, as we think about how to press forward and forget what's behind, Lord, that we would be craving your presence, that we would not let our bellies become our God. Lord, that we would not get so wrapped up and caught up with the things of this world, that we wouldn't crave a new home or crave a spouse or crave a child or a job. Lord, that we wouldn't get our eyes just completely focused on another thing on Amazon or another thing on Netflix or another thing that's in and around us, surrounding us, pulling, ever pulling on us, Lord, that we would crave to live in that holiness, that blamelessness, and the proclamation of the gospel. That we would crave the calling of our Lord home. Father, I pray that right now we would take this seriously, that this could be a day that we here at this church could change the patterns of our lives and live in a way that is much better. Live in a way that's much greater. Lord, a way that you've called us to. Lord, I ask that we would take seriously, that you would have us search our hearts and our souls, and that we would press in to the uncomfortable areas of our lives and ask what needs to change here. What needs to change? What are we making our God? What are we filling our time with? Lord, I pray that you would put in all of our hearts and all of our minds a serious conviction to make changes. That we would prune our lives of the things that are holding us back. That we would cut the dead limbs. And that we would let our lives be filled with gospel conversations, gospel proclamation. We would encourage one another by your word and through your word, and together in prayer we would stir one another up, that we would seek that day, and that the Spirit would guide us on a mission to advance your kingdom here in this city, that we would not sit back, that we would not sit down, that there is a fight to be fought, and that we would move. Lord, I ask that you help us move. In your power and through your calling with your people, help us today. We need you, Lord, in your name. If you need to go back to kids, to grab your kids, go do it now. We're going to transition to a time of response.
Didn't want heaven without
could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grace.
Sing it out.
The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have.
Amazing Grace.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Silence the boast of sin and grave.
Heavens are roaring.
Heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again.
You have no rival.
You have no. No equal now and forever.
a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Seated for a second. Something that I would encourage us all to do today is, if there's someone that you know you need to go ask if you can join them in their run, their pursuit of God, you should probably ask them today. Today's a good day for that. So if you see someone, if you know someone, you've been sitting and saying, you know what, I would really love some investment there, but I've been too timid to say it, go ask today. Be good. A couple quick announcements. If you have not signed up for the Sent Summit, which is tomorrow evening, do my Sent Community Group a favor, because we're doing the food. We need to know how much food to prepare for. So if you could sign up today, that'd be great. Also, by 8 o'clock tonight, we will make a decision on whether we're going to have the Sent Summit or not. So it still is a coin flip. Pastor David is getting a COVID test right now. So hopefully we'll know that stuff. So keep your email ready to be looked at today. But also sign up, because we want to prepare, because we're moving toward, it's a yes until it's a no, okay? If you want some people to run with, join a Sent community. This is where we run. This is where we lock arms and try to keep each other as focused as possible on Christ. Stand with me. Father, send us. Send us in your power with the focus that is needed. Thank you that the weight and responsibility you have already bore. We are partnering with you in an already accomplished battle. The victory is won. The war is over. We're just fighting these battles. Thank you for the confidence that brings. Now, God, put us to work. Put us to work for that day. Use us. God, change our stories by changing our vision. We want what you want. God, fill up our lives with people that need you. In Christ's name, amen. Have a great week.